Good morning, and thank you for listening to us today. And we trust the Lord will bless you and meet your need. And as we are still getting used to this new webcam, we trust that there will not be any distractions for you, but that the Lord will bless his word to your heart. I want to especially thank those from Agalee Free Presbyterian Church for tuning in today. We trust that the Lord is continuing to sustain you in your home and to give you encouragement and to meet your need as a family. And we trust that whatever your burdens are, the Lord will help you to bear them, that he will grant to you the grace that you need at this time. And for those who are unwell in the congregation, we're delighted that there has been some improvement with some who've been unwell, and we're looking to the Lord in prayer that he will continue to meet the need of those who need that touch in the physical frame at this time. We're praying on as a congregation that the Lord would meet the need of each one, praying the one for another and bearing one another's burdens the best we can. And we're looking to the Lord collectively that he would lift the pandemic in his time and that there might be a time of freedom again before too long here in the province. Do pray for the preaching of the word in these days, that the Lord might use these very unusual circumstances to draw men and women savingly to himself. Now, we're going to have a word of prayer together. Then we're going to read a passage and then meditate upon it just at this time. So seek the Lord together in prayer, please. Father in heaven, we do acknowledge thy goodness since last we fellowship together. Thank you, Lord, for thy presence with us in our homes. Thank you, Lord, for meeting our needs spiritually. Thank you for sustaining us in every way. Lord, we thank thee again today for the opportunity just to turn to the Bible together. Thank you, Lord, for that word which is the food of the Christian, that word which is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And Lord, so many times we've proved it to be so. And Lord, we pray for the congregation, especially today. We do pray that you would continue to give encouragement of heart. Lord, with all the difficulties and challenges that are affecting each and every one of our lives in some way, we pray that in and through it all, thy people might know the Lord's faithfulness. To remember those, Lord, who are unwell, we ask that you continue to give them a full recovery. Lord, for those that we know of who are in hospital, that you would draw near to them. We ask too at this time for all who care for the sick, for the NHS staff, and Lord, so many others involved in frontline services. May the Lord continue to grant his presence. And in this situation, may the Lord's great name be glorified. We do again ask that you would continue for the boys and girls and the young people. You continue to be with them, meet their need, give them joy in their hearts, even in these very strange days in which we're living. And Lord, we pray that as we come in a week or two towards the springtime, Lord, that you might be pleased to even grant the eradication even of this virus out of our country. So Lord, we look to thee. We ask that you'd bless us now as we read the word and share it together in Jesus' name. Amen. You turn please with me to the book of Genesis and chapter 30. I'm going to read in Genesis chapter 30 and verse 1. We have, as you're aware, on some of the Sunday mornings this past while, been looking at some of the sons of Jacob and some of the things that he had to say to them regarding the future of their tribes and their families. These were all prophecies and they would all come to pass. Therefore, what he said was very, very important. And what he says to you and I today is equally important. We have his word to read, and the Holy Spirit uses the word to speak to us, and therefore to guide us, and also to encourage us, and to lift us up, and to meet our need, whatever that need might be. You may have a complex need today, but the Lord is able to meet your need, and I trust that he will. We're reading in Genesis chapter 30 and verse 1. It says there, "And when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister, and said unto Jacob, Give me children, or else I die. And Jacob's anger was kindled against Jacob, and he said, Am I in God's stead, who hath withheld from thee the fruit of the womb? And she said, Behold, my maid Bilhah, go in unto her, and she shall bear upon my knees, that I may also have children by her. She gave him Bilhah, her handmaid, to wife, and Jacob went in unto her. Bilhah conceived and bare Jacob a son. And Rachel said, God judgeth me, and hath also heard my voice, and hath given me a son Therefore called she his name Dan. Bilhah, Rachel's maid, conceived again, and bare Jacob a second son. And Rachel said, "What with great wrestlings have I wrestled with my sister, and I have prevailed." And she called his name Naphtali. Amen. We trust that the Lord will bless the reading of his word this morning to all of our hearts. I'm drawing your attention to verses 7 and 8, where it says, "And Bilhah, Rachel's maid, conceived again, and bare Jacob a second son. And Rachel said, with great wrestlings have I wrestled with my sister, and I have prevailed. And she called his name Naphtali." The name Naphtali means my wrestlings. And I want to give a title to what I'm going to say this morning called Struggling On Safely. And there's no better person or character to look at than Naphtali when we think of strugglings or striving. Now, Naphtali was a tribe, of course. Naphtali, the individual, was the head of that tribe. And that tribe, Naphtali, if you read Isaiah chapter 9, is associated with the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the people that walked in darkness, having seen a great light. And if you look in that chapter, you will see that the light, it is the light of Christ. But the meaning of the name Naphtali is alluded to here by Rachel herself. The word that is translated wrestlings and wrestle really are what we would call the verbal form of the name Naphtali. And Naphtali means, as I mentioned to you, wrestling or my wrestlings. The thought there is of a struggle. It is also the thought, gives a thought or carries a thought of striving. Maybe another way we could explain it was, it carries a thought of twining, as you would twine a rope. And when you twine a rope, then it is something which could be difficult to undo. And as you think of struggles and striving, there will never be a time in our lives when there's no struggles. Therefore, I know that as I speak to you today, whether you are an ugly person or not, associated with the church there, or you may live miles and miles away, maybe in a different country, wherever you are, if you're a Christian, there will be some kinds of struggles going on with you at the present time. So this is a word for us all, and it's a word for now. It's a good word to look at for at the beginning of a new year, struggling unsafely, as we look at Naphtali, which means my struggles or my struggling. I want to say, first of all, there is, in my mind, the thought of basic struggling. There was, of course, that struggle that we've mentioned on other occasions between Leah and Rachel, which really, when you look at it, was struggles there in the family, it was struggles in the home, and it really points to what we could call basic struggles or everyday struggles, or something that we may have to contend with quite often. There was obviously here with these two ladies, there was envy and jealousy. And it brings to our mind the thought that life is complex. And in every area of life, and certainly as you grow out of childhood, you begin to learn that in every area of life, there are complexities and therefore there are struggles. The psalmist, David, helps us greatly in his psalms because he was often very honest with us, as others were, about his struggles. And over there, if you look in Psalm number 26, I'm just going to turn to it with you. It's the Psalm number 26 and the verse 17. Psalm 26 says here in verse 17, "The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring me out of my distresses. Look upon mine afflictions and my pain, and forgive all my sin." He's saying, "Lord, if there's anything in me that is causing me to be chastened in this way, deal with it now." But he's crying to the Lord there, "The troubles of my heart are enlarged." And I'm sure, Christian, that certainly from time to time, you know what it is to have your struggles enlarged and your strivings enlarged. And you know what it is for problems to come sometimes right on the heels of another problem. And then when that problem is gone, there's another one waiting to come as well. But the psalmist knows something, or knew something, that you know and I know. And it is this, that in all the struggles and strivings of life, even in the basic struggles, there's one who is there to help us, and that is the Lord. If I can look with you just at a couple of psalms, if you look there in the Psalm 34, please. Psalm 34. And the verse 6. Psalm 34. The verse 6. The psalmist here is someone who loves the Lord, but then he refers to himself in this way. He says, this poor man, referring to himself, this poor man cried. It's good to recognize we're nothing. And it's good to always be aware of our need of divine assistance, to need the Lord. And maybe you're struggling today and you just need to say, Lord, I need help. I just can't deal with this on my own. The poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Now, that does not mean that everything always turns out the way we want it. It does not mean that everything always works out in a way that we can fully understand. But it means that when you and I commit our case to the Lord and give it to him, then he will work everything out for our ultimate good. We may not feel it now that it's really for our good. But so often in the pathway of life, when the Lord does step in and he hears our cry, we do see his hand at work. And we do see that he has intervened on our behalf. And we do see that he's able to deliver us from the different troubles, or the word there meaning straits, that we find ourselves in. Also in that Psalm 34, if you look there with me in verse 17, it says, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. I'm thinking of two men who were in trouble in the Bible. They're both thrown into prison during a dictatorship, and that was Peter and James. And both of them were delivered from the troubles. Now, their deliverances were very different. It says in that passage over in the book of Acts that prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. That was for Peter. And Peter, in a most marvelous way, was delivered safely from the prison. He was in the dungeon. He was to be brought out and to be executed. But he was delivered, and he lived for quite a while after that. But James was also in prison, and James was put to death. And I'm sure there were many who were heartbroken and very, very disappointed and discouraged when James died in the prison. But brothers and sisters, both of them were delivered. Both of them were delivered from their trouble. And passages like that in the book of Acts reminds all of us as Christians to keep our eyes on the finish line, to keep our eyes on heaven, to set our affection on things above. That does not mean that during many of the basic struggles in life, the Lord can't come along and help you and assist you in a way that helps you to go on in life serving him. Of course, he does that. But we just need to be aware that sometimes our deliverance doesn't come in the way that we would have wanted it to be. Over in the Psalm number 71, there's another important passage there. Psalm 71 and verse 20, it says, thou which hast showed me great and sore troubles shalt quicken me again and shall bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Sometimes the writer of the Psalms was very down. Maybe you are. And you need the Lord to come along today and to pick you up and to deliver you from some trouble. It may be a passing trouble, but it's a struggle for you. And your fellow Christians maybe don't know anything about it. Maybe even your nearest and dearest. Maybe they have scant details about it, but they don't really know what you're going through, Christian. Do remember this, that the Lord knows. Again, over there in the Psalm number 61, it's a lovely psalm. It says there, from the end of the earth in verse 2, will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. When we're overwhelmed. And sometimes we feel that our troubles are going to overwhelm us. And here was the psalmist. He was in great difficulty, didn't really know what to do. And he says here that when his heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock. Make sure I get to the Lord. Get before him and pour out my heart before him. And I don't know today what you are going through exactly. There may be private struggles for you. There may be mental struggles or emotional struggles or even spiritual struggles or maybe material struggles. But remember the words of Priscilla Jane Owens in her lovely hymn. We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Christian, while the billows do roll, you and I can struggle unsafely. Struggle unsafely, even in basic struggles in life. But there's not just basic struggles. I think then of building struggles. Building struggles. The Lord is always working with his people. He works in us and through us. But he works with us. And we have what we call, there is wrestling or struggling regarding sanctification. You want to live a consecrated life the best you can unto the Lord. We know that the Lord has set his people apart from sin and he uses them and he wants to build us up. And yet we find ourselves having to acknowledge to our own heart time and again that we're in a war, that we're facing a battle, that there's struggles going on, that there is that wrestling with us. And we have to continually struggle against sin. So often I have drawn the attention of those who are listening to Galatians chapter 5. It's a great chapter where Paul there, when writing to that church, he gives the details of how we can have victory in the struggling. And he lays it out as it is and tells about the flesh struggling or warring against the spirit. And that is something you know about, Christian. If you've been saved and you're trying to go on with the Lord, you know about the battle. You know about the struggle. You know the Lord wants to have you set aside for himself and you want to consecrate your life to him. But you've come up against the difficulties and sin that is always there seeking to be a hindrance for us, whether it's in thought or word or deed, maybe things we should do and don't do. Whatever the case might be, there is that wrestling regarding sanctification, something that we're going to have to contend with during the rest of our life here on earth. So there is this building struggles, remembering that in and through all of these struggles, that the Lord is seeking to strengthen us and to build us up and to help us to live more in a way that will bring glory and honor to his name. I trust you're making progress and that this year as we set out in 2021, that we'll all endeavor to grow a little bit more in the Lord. And we'll do well in these struggles of sanctification, that we'll not pull back, but rather we will deal very harshly with sin in our own lives. Someone once said to me that a good way to deal with awkward situations is to be harsh on yourself, uneasy and easy on others. Well, one person we can't afford to be easy on is ourselves when it comes to this struggle that is of sanctification. And may the Lord give us grace to wrestle well regarding that. But building struggles, there's a struggling regarding sanctification, but there's a struggling as well concerning service. Whatever you go to do for the Lord, there will always be some kind of hindrance or a barrier or something else you can do, or stress will come along and say, don't do anything more, it's too hard. It's causing you to be unsettled and you're worrying about it. Well, it's at times like that we have to consider him and remember all that he did for us. And it is a privilege for us to be able to do something for the Lord. It's a great privilege to be asked to serve him during our own lifetime. But in that service, very often, as you and I know, there are struggles. You don't have to be someone in the mission field or someone who's a full-time minister or evangelist to know that. But you just have to want to serve the Lord to know that there's constantly, again, that war going on, that sometimes a raging war that we must engage in and contend in if we are to serve the Lord to the best of our ability. When Paul was writing to the church there in Colossae, this is what it says over in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 29. He says here, Colossians 1, 29, talking about laboring for the Lord and warning people, that is the presenting of the gospel, he says, whereunto I also labor, striving. Now the word striving there is a word that is associated with athletics. And you can picture an athlete there straining every muscle and really putting their everything into what they're doing. I'm old enough to remember Zola Budd racing. And I remember sometimes watching her in the track as she was running in her bare feet. And she was putting everything into the races that she was involved in. And that is the meaning behind the striving here, putting everything into it. And Paul says, whereunto I also labor, striving. And then he says, according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Surely that gives encouragement to us all to look to the Lord and to ask him to, in some degree, work on us the way he worked in the apostle long ago. There is that passage in Colossians 1 and 29. You can study that at home yourself. But there's also over there in the word, the thought of struggling regarding the Philippians. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. He says there, only let your, this is Philippians 1, verse 27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving. There's that word again. I was with one mind and one spirit, striving together for the faith of the gospel. What a privilege it is, then, to be asked to serve the Lord, to serve with our brothers and sisters in Christ, and to strive together, to make the very best effort that we can for the furtherance of the gospel. These are building struggles. The struggle of sanctification is when we're being built up. The struggle in service is when the Lord is building his church. He's edifying it. He's building it up, and he's using people like you and me to do that. And again, we're very thankful to the Lord for that. The struggle with sanctification, the struggle regarding service, but the struggle with supplications. The word wrestlings that was used by Rachel, and she says there, I have prevailed. She's referring not only to the situation she was in, she's referring to her wrestling with the Lord. Of course she was seeking the Lord that she might have these children. And she prayed, whatever the situation is, whether Jewish rabbis were right in believing that Rachel wrestled in prayer over the matter, whatever the case might be, there's a great picture here of prayer and wrestling. And one of the greatest examples of that in all of the Bible is found in the book of Genesis, when we turn to the life of Jacob. Now, Jacob was a man, and you would not want to come across very many Jacobs in your life. If you were to meet him as he was in the earlier part of his life, there's not very much in him that would have you to like him. I'm going to turn you to Genesis chapter 32, and we have him here. He's been fleeing from Esau, and now he is laid down. And it says in verse 24 of Genesis 32, and Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of day. He now was wrestling with the Lord. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go. This is the Lord talking to Jacob. Let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. This is one of Jacob's finest moments. I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. Christian, that's a great way to pray. When we're praying for our family, when we're praying for ourselves, when we're praying for the congregation in Agalee, we're praying for the work of God in general, whether it's here in Northern Ireland or away out in the mission field. It's a great way to pray. I will not let thee go except thou bless me. It's wonderful, the words that were said to Jacob after that. For it says in verse 27, and he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. He said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and men, and hast prevailed. What a time it was for Jacob. His life was never the same after that. And you and I, Christian, we ought to learn from Jacob. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. He said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. Of course, we believe here that Jacob knew that this was all from the Lord. It says in verse 30, and Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Meeting one Jacob in your life would be enough. I hope you haven't met too many. One of those men who is just no pleasing him, and never content, and it just would not matter what anyone else did, whether it was Esau or anyone else. Jacob, he was just as crooked and twisted as could be, and this was all going to catch up with him. But he met with the Lord now, and he got into a situation with the Lord here in Genesis 32, and his life was transformed. He wrestled and prevailed. And Christian, what encouragement there is for us all. In some ways, we're all just like Jacob, but we need to wrestle in supplication. So many needs around us. God has chosen you and chosen me to be an instrument in his hand. There is the basic struggles of life. We've mentioned that. Then the building struggles with sanctification, with service, and with supplication. But I want to mention finally, there is the blessed struggling. And when you look there at the word strive that is found in Romans 15 and verse 30, I'll turn you to that, where the apostle was asking for prayer. I'll just read it. It says, now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, that for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive. There's the same word, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Now, that word strive, I want to draw your attention to it again, because it also carries the meaning of to contend, or of an argument, if you like. It also carries the meaning of working a fervency, and it also carries the meaning of contending with words. You think of all of that. You think of that word strive that we find there in Romans 15 and 30. It is the same word that is translated in Luke chapter 22 concerning the Lord there in the garden, where it says there that he was exceeding sorrowful unto death. And remember this, when the Lord was praying in the garden and he asked God if this cup could pass from me, he was not seeking to avoid Calvary, because the cross was decreed in God's eternal counsel to be the means of redemption and salvation for all those who had come to him. Therefore, he was going to the cross. He set his face as a flint toward Jerusalem, and he did not hesitate on going to the cross. The cup he was afraid of here in the garden was dying before he got to Calvary. And he got there for you and I. And he won the victory there. And his prayer, of course, was answered. And he won the victory there on the cross and shed his blood for us. But I mentioned to you the title of this part was Blessed Struggling. He still prays. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. He doesn't stop. Sometimes in our experience, we may almost have left off praying altogether. He doesn't do that. And in our service, we may have tended to pull back. And in our basic struggles, even we may feel that indeed we are almost overwhelmed. He knows all about that today. The hymn writer said, Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will stay until the day is done. I trust today that as you and I even resolve, and we can do that, resolve to struggle on, that we will know that we can struggle on safely because we have one at God's right hand, whoever lives, to make intercession for us. And again, on a personal level, I trust the Lord will really help you in your basic struggles, that he will use you in the building struggles and help you there, and that all of us will remind ourselves of the blessed struggles, how he was determined to go to the cross for us, and how he prays continually for us now. May the Lord be pleased to bless these few thoughts to your hearts this morning.